Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today our guest is Raymond Schwab. We're going to be talking about a walk he is going to take across the country, I think with one of his friends, to dramatize what's going on over in Iraq. And, of course, a lot of people think that there were going to be dramatic changes now that the Democrats are in control. But, you know, we may pull a few troops out of there, but I have no question at all that we're not going to pull all of our troops out, although I think we should. I don't think we ever should have gone in. In fact, I believe that the war with Afghanistan and the war with Iraq were contrived a long time ago. They wanted to go to war in the Middle East, and they created the incident on September 11th. And if you have not yet actually seen some of the videos we're carrying, the videos like 911, Press for the Truth, or Terror Storm by Alex Jones, or certainly In Plain Sight, or one that we carry that nobody else does, and that's 911, the day that changed America forever. Why, you really need to get this information, but mainly you just need to watch pictures of Building 7 coming down, and you realize it was a controlled explosion. And then, of course, there's no way that those passports could have survived, but the biggest thing is that on the day of the attack, why, there were military exercises being carried out. There were military exercises being carried out that involved hijacking planes, and at one time they were actually tracking 26 hijacked planes. Everything was done to confuse the air traffic controllers, and believe me, that wasn't done by Osama bin Laden hiding in a cave over there. And, of course, the truth of the matter is that there were people who wanted an excuse to go to war. And we dishonor the dead by not demanding that there be an independent investigation where all the records are not sealed for 30 years, as they did with the 911 Commission, and that the people who were held responsible for the murder of almost 3,000 Americans are brought to justice, as well as the murder of all the people who've died in Afghanistan and Iraq unnecessarily. But if you think that the Democrats are going to change anything, you know, Nancy Pelosi is part of the establishment. If she weren't, she wouldn't be where she is. And so you can be sure that although we may pull a few troops out, the war is going to continue. They're just going to have to say, oh, shucks, you know, we'd like to do something, but, just as soon as we control the presidency, we'll do it. Or as soon as the Iraqis are ready to take over with their military, or they'll always have an excuse. Because they want the war to continue. Until you understand that, nothing really makes sense of going on today. Until you understand that they created this whole incredible mess over there by as soon as we had taken the country, and we could have certainly turned right around and gotten right out if all we wanted to do was get Saddam Hussein. Well, then they dissolved the army, they dissolved the police force, they dissolved the civil service, and then you wonder why we have chaos over there. I mean, there was no structure of society. And then who's funding both the Shia and the Sunni factions that in this civil war that we seem to be encouraging at every turn? And why don't we just stop the Mahdi's army? I mean, you can't control an army country when you have independent armies operating there. And it would appear that we're allowing the head of the Mahdi army to continue making anti-American statements and inflaming the people against our troops. How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? And I don't think it is unintentional. I think they know what they're doing, and I fear it's going to continue. Well, let's get to Raymond, who's calling in. Raymond, when do you begin your walk across America?
Hi, Dr. Monteith. We are beginning to walk February 1st, 2007, from Denver, Colorado.
All right, fine. And where are you going to walk to?
We're walking to Washington, D.C., through the states of I believe right now we've decided Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Ohio. That's kind of backwards. And then down to D.C.
All right, fine. And well, we'll get more to this when we get back. We'll, right here at Genesis.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Good morning, honey. Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water, so I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin, and wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a travel Berkey today for only $209, or get a Sport Berkey for only $39. Call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Travel Berkey not available in Iowa.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we've got with us Raymond Schwab. Raymond, tell me what motivates you to want to walk across the country and starting in February?
Well, I would have to say that I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit of God. I've been praying for a long time about all this information I had concerning the evidence of an inside job to 9/11, the lies behind the wars in Iraq, and the fact that through different surveys, 79% of various evangelicals supported the war in Iraq. We're not challenging this administration in terms of acting uprightly, considering George Bush claims to be a born-again Christian. And went out and spent some time in prayer, and that's where we decided to do a symbolic action to begin to hopefully create some dialogue and raise some questions, exactly what you asked. Why would we walk across the country with my... not only my friend, as you said, Elliot Mesh, but with my wife and children, after, you know, selling my business and about everything we have to do this, because we feel it's critical. We're losing our rights. We're losing America as we know it. And we feel that God does nothing without revealing it to his prophets. Not that I'm a prophet per se, but I am one of his children, and he's really put this strongly upon our heart that we need to cry out, that people need to begin to act before this gets any worse.
Well, I certainly admire your efforts, but you know, February, you got March and April, you could still be having snow all across the Middle West. Wouldn't it be better to wait a few months until the weather was better? You wouldn't be fighting snow and wind and storms and all those things?
Yeah, sure, but you know, it's not up to me. And also, my you know, our soldiers in Iraq are suffering much worse hardship than we'll be stomping through snow. So we just wanted to do it as rapidly as we could. We don't think this is an issue that can be addressed through convenience. And February, we didn't want to start at the beginning of winter just because we knew there was going to be too much focus on these elections. And now that they're over, we're just garnering funds and getting our preparations ready and getting our press releases out. I'm seeing how many other people are going to help us make this impactful through walking with us or joining with us, connecting with us as we go through their states and talking to these new Congress people and old Congress people to begin to stop talking about these things and start acting and holding this executive branch responsible for its decisions.
But how are you going to reach the Christians of this country? Most of them are good people, but they're simply following the leadership of their Christian leaders who are solidly behind George Bush because he professes to be a Christian, even though many times he doesn't tell the truth. In fact, just before the election, he said, you know, Donald Rumsfeld's going to stay. And after the election, he said, well, you know, I was already thinking of getting rid of Donald Rumsfeld. You know, what I was saying, that we were going to keep him. Now, how can you believe we have a Christian president, what, he doesn't tell the truth? Certainly he didn't tell the truth about Iraq. He says, oh, well, we have the best intelligence. No, they had special intelligence. They twisted everybody's arm to go along with that. But it was very, very obvious that, you know, Saddam Hussein was not about to attack America. Saddam, if you read the writings of some of the Marine generals, General Zinni, four-star Marine general, said Iraq was not a threat to the United States. He had read all of the intelligence. There was no reason to attack Iraq. He said, you know, we ought to have gone ahead and got Osama bin Laden. So since the president promised to get Osama bin Laden, I never really tried to get him, you know, and then just changed direction and instead of going, you know, south to get, you know, that they went in the other direction to actually go after Iraq. You know, how are you going to reach the good people of America, though? You know, and try to get them to think about what's going on instead of lacking emotionally and following leaders, many of whom are getting large sums of money for supporting the administration.
Sure. And, you know, that's one of the questions we asked when we've been formulating our strategy for this, is the fact that, you know, there are lots of mainstream evangelical leaders and other leaders that are refusing to speak about this issue. As a matter of fact, I was just kicked out of my school. I'm a senior. It was very unjust, but I was trying to reach the administration, talk to the students. I go to a private Christian college, Colorado Christian University, and we decided to do a vigil outside of the school on public property and draw students out to give them some of the information I have. I think the problem is a problem of information. A lot of people perceive attacks on this administration as attacks on Christianity because they really believe, I've spoken to so many Christians that George Bush is a Christian. They're happy. But as I begin to probe and ask why they feel that way and share some of my information, many of them have told me, I've never heard that before. Where are you getting this information? The one thing we're doing is we have been in the process of developing two documentaries that are more focused towards the Christian community. One is on 9/11. One is on the war in Iraq and what the Christian response should be. I'm actually in Salt Lake City, Utah right now. We just got done interviewing Professor Stephen Jones from BYU University, a very intelligent man. And even the facts that he gave us in this interview concerning the physical evidence behind explosives, thermite, and it's just irrefutable that the evidence is there and that the National Institute for Standards and Technology are not doing their job as scientists. And we're going to begin to disseminate this information, give it out to our brothers and sisters. You know, we're trying to be as humble as we can. We don't want to cause a lot of aggression and conflict among the different groups of Christians. We do have on our website, it says, Real Christians Don't Choose War. And that's kind of our shock statement to get people to ask us, you know, why do you say that? Why do you believe that? We begin to talk to them about this war. And we've contacted as many evangelical leaders. I've contacted John MacArthur Jr. I've contacted Pat Robertson, James Dobson. We're trying to get them to make statements. We're trying to get them to answer these questions because they are dishonoring the name of Jesus Christ by being silent in the face of these injustices.
But you see, they don't see that. I know James Dobson.
I think some of them do. And I think they're drunk with power. I think they're very established in the White House. I've seen some interesting documentaries on the rise of the religious right. Sandy Rios of Concerned Women of America was on Bill Maher's show not too long ago, and she, you know, was trying to explain why it's not torture what we're doing to people by waterboarding them and other extreme pressures and forces. And I think they do know, but if they speak out, they're going to lose. Kind of like Pat Robertson, he said some comments about when Ariel Sharon had that stroke, and now he's been banned from Israel, and he tried to recant. And, you know, why did he try to recant? If that's what he meant, and if that's what the words say, why backpedal? Because it's about what they're trying to do with their projects and their ministries and the political power they've achieved, that I don't think they're ready to sacrifice that yet. And if they stand in the truth in this time, you know, they're going to end up like Stephen Jones, dismissed from the university, or me kicked out of my school, or all these other people that are being attacked, not for the facts, but for the propaganda that they're receiving from all of these other agents.
Well, how is that Stephen Jones doing, Professor Jones? Actually, I understand he's had to take early retirement just because he had the courage to question what the official government party line is.
He's doing wonderful, actually. We had a great lunch together and spent a couple hours just going over his research. And what I find interesting is before I talk to him, you know, I've heard in the national news, I've seen him on TV, and they've been attacking him in positions of who do you think put the bombs in the buildings or whatever. And they've been calling him a kook and a nut and all of this stuff. And I sat down with this man and went over his evidence, and I have yet to see anybody really say, well, let's look at why he says this. And as you know, this guy did experiments, like scientists are supposed to do, experiments to test these theories that have been put out of how these buildings fell and explain some of the anomalies, like heavy sulfur in the residue, which they can't explain, or other compounds like that. And I think he's really, he just believes that as a scientist, this is going to happen to him. When people stand in the truth, in controversial times, they're going to receive persecution from the establishment, and he's happy. He got a great resolution with the university, and he said it actually frees him up so he can pursue this issue, because he thinks it's very vital to go around the country and speak and share his data and continue to do research and challenge.
Well, I certainly have the greatest admiration for Dr. Jones. Of one thing is, you know, and I would say this to all of our listeners, when people want to say, who put the bombs in the buildings? Say, I don't know. I mean, that's why we need an independent examination, independent inquiry. But you know, for instance, that you know, the first inquiry, the Joint Intelligence Commission inquiry, the head of both of those organizations, the co-chairman of that, Peter Porter Goss and Bob Graham, both happened to come from the Council on Foreign Relations, and most of the important parts of the testimony were never included in the final report. Why do you think that was? And then when you get to the 9/11 Commission report, of course,
sorry, sir.
You have to, do not let them put you into a box. Who put the bombs in the building? What if the planes didn't crash into the, you know, Flight 93, American Flight 93, didn't go down in Pennsylvania? What happened to the plane? Don't even bother or, you know, as far as the plane that ran into the Pentagon, don't let them trap you into trying to answer those questions, because we don't have the answers to those questions. And, you know, we don't know. That's why we need an independent, you know, investigation. And why did the Bush administration block, in effect, an independent investigation? And why did they insist on censoring both those reports? What are they afraid the American people are going to find out? Put the other people on the defensive. Do never let them put you on the defensive. And I know Professor Jones is a brilliant individual, a lot smarter than I am, but he's not used to this sort of banter back and forth. And remember, we're playing not to the individual, to people we're talking to, we're paying to the audience. Never, when you're out there and you're getting interviewed, never let them put you into a position on something you can't back up. Never conjecture. Never say you think it might have been. No, just stick with what we actually know, and we know that we have not been told the truth. And how did they manage to conceal for so long the fact that there actually were military exercises that morning of September 11th that simulated hijackings, and somebody was planting all sorts of false images on the screens? Who was that? And you ask the other people to explain who it was, and they can't explain it, and you don't know either. But it certainly doesn't suggest that Osama bin Laden of the cave was putting false images on the screens of both NORAD and the FAA. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly this afternoon we're talking to a Mr. Raymond Schwab, and we're talking about why he is really wants to take off and how long it's going to take you to walk across the country.
We haven't really placed a date on that. It really depends. You know, our goal is to dialogue, and our goal is to be able to get into the churches or get into the public square. So, you know, as we travel, if we get an opportunity to speak to people and share the information we have, because it is an information problem that we're having in the church, you know, we're estimating around 7 months. It's going to be a while, but it also depends on the response of the nation. We really hope, you know, we're challenging leaders or even Christians that think we're off. I mean, one thing, we're not speaking heresy here. We believe, you know, the foundational biblical truths of the Bible. We're asking them to challenge us on our statements concerning this war, 9/11, so that we can begin to dialogue, and we're willing to discuss that anywhere with anybody in order to create this dialogue, because that's the biggest problem we've seen. You know, we go into churches often, we talk to people, and they don't want to talk about the facts. But we do find those individuals that have never heard this information or you know, because we have busy lives today, you know, and they get a little here and a little there, and there is a general suppression of the reality of what's going on in Iraq and concerning the new evidence with 9/11 in the media. I've had many reporters call and want to interview us about this walk, learn information about what we're doing, and then present the story and it gets killed. Why? It really doesn't make sense to me. So, it's going to take a little while.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, do you want to get your web page out or how people can get in touch with you if they'd like to help you?
Sure, we do have a website. It's BeitShalomMinistries.org.
Once again, what is it?
BeitShalomMinistries.org.
What's the first word there?
Sure, Beit, B-E-I-T, B as in boy, B-E-I-T-S-H-A-L-O-M, ministries. .org, or you can Google Denver to D.C. We've had a lot of web information out there, so Google picks up a lot of our stuff. And we have a website with some of our writings, our personal testimonies of how we came to faith in Jesus Christ, some writings on Iraq. We've had some great interviews. We have a writing on there from a man that used to be an interrogator at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, became a conscientious objector because of the reality of our government torturing people in Iraq, the CIA and other agencies. Actually, you know, he told us taking hammers and bats to people. It's just a lot of information on there to really get people to look at what is going on, as well as some links to some movies which you have mentioned on that link to Google video, Terror Storm, some 9/11 and Iraq videos. So there's some good information on there.
And of course, you know, what I really don't understand is how any Christian can justify torture. It seems so absurd to me. I don't care what the Muslims do. I don't care if they cut off people's hands and heads. How can we, as Christians, justify torture? And how can we support a president who says, we don't torture people, we just want permission to continue doing it?
Well, and I agree, and this is my warning to the church and to the American people as a whole. You know, there's a story in the book of Esther about a man that made a noose for a Jewish man named Mordecai and ended up getting hung on that noose himself. We're building the system that in time will be used for us, and all those justifications will be in place. You know, when they're done with radical Islam, you know, there's going to come a time where they're going to come after Bible-believing Christians, people that believe Jesus is coming back. And we're helping build that system by not being vigilant, by not being aware of the facts that are going on. You know, I remember a while back I heard a pastor talking about that show 24, and I went and watched it, and, you know, it's shows like that that are conditioning this populace that, hey, it is okay sometimes to torture people to save life. We kind of lost that barometer that we're a people of principle, that God will reward us and protect us standing in that principle, and now we become so pragmatic that, look, if we have to torture this guy to death to save 10 lives, you know, we become so fearful. I've had people tell me that, oh, if we don't do this, the Muslims are going to get you. And I tell them, so what? Since when as Christians do we become fearful of death? You know, that's my delivery home. I trust in God's sovereignty that if we do what we're supposed to do, that he's going to act on our behalf. And we've lost that somewhere in the middle of all this fear-mongering and the horror of the attacks on September 11th.
And, of course, the thing is that we are subject to propaganda. It's said that, you know, in war, the first casualty is the truth, and they're programming the American people to believe that the Islamic people are going to come over here and kill all of us unless we go over there and kill all of them. And they're programming the Islamic people to hate Americans and the Americans to hate and fear. And understand, we're being manipulated. Once you understand you are being manipulated, then, of course, you're free. You are no longer controlled by the people who control the media. We'll be right back.
Available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll free 877-300-7645.
The Japanese have used magnetic therapy for thousands of years, and it's more popular today than ever before. Established in 2000, Arizona Unipole Magnetics, AUM, is the number one online source for the superb Dr. Philpott approved Polar Power Magnetics. Now offering a complete line of these fine magnetics in an easy-to-read mail-order catalog. No hyped-up product descriptions to waste your time, just the facts. The unique polar-powered magnetics are designed to apply only the negative magnetic field to the body, and they're the only magnetics used in Dr. Philpott's research. Proven safe with over 23 years of documented research, now GCN listeners can order the polar-powered ceramic block biomagnet and get a discount. This is the workhorse of all biomagnets. Just mention GCN when you place your order. Visit azunimags.com, that's A-Z-U-N as in North, I-M-A-G-S.com, or call toll-free to order and request a catalog, 888-442-0449. That's 888-442-0449.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Did you know you have been cheated? You owe no debt on your bank-issued credit cards. You heard that right. You owe no debt on your bank-issued credit cards. You don't have to pay them off. The banks are defrauding you. Now is the time to fight back. You can completely wipe out your credit card debt fast. The procedure is easy and everything is done legally and within the law. We have better than a 90% success rate. Check out 1-2-3nodebt.com. The process is simple and is non-judicial. It's an easy letter-writing process that can be done by anyone with a personal computer. With our package, you also get the Credit Secrets Bible, loaded with valuable information about credit restoration and credit repair and much, much more. Don't let the banksters cheat you. Fight back, America. Stop the fraud. Stop the ripoff. Learn the truth. 1-2-3nodebt.com. Come over and get our rock-solid technology that wipes out debt without bankruptcy. It's really quite easy. Go to 1-2-3nodebt.com. Live debt-free now. You lose nothing but the debt.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Raymond Schwab, and we've got Mike calling from Arizona. Incidentally, our telephone number is 800-259-5791. That's 800-259-5791. And Raymond feels called by God to make this hike across America, maybe 7 months, sold his business, everything else, so he could do this, taking his wife and children with him and a friend, and I'll have to admit he's got a lot of courage, and I admire him for being willing to do something. So many people just want to sit back and think everything's going to be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if you're not willing to take a stand now, when will you take a stand? And remember what Thomas Paine wrote. He said, tyranny, like hell, is not easy to conquer. Well, let's go to Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I missed the first part of your interview, so forgive me. But are you approaching churches with this information about 911? Is that the main purpose of your walk?
Yes, I am. That's not the sole purpose. One, it's not only about 9/11. It's about everything that's happened since 9/11 and 9/11. The fact that some of the loudest supporters have been evangelical churches in America. I am an evangelical. I went to an evangelical private Christian college, so they kicked me out for my political stances. But we feel that because we're called to be people of truth, that definitely is the base of people that we are addressing. I've found that the church has been more resistant to this information than the common people on the street. We go out and preach on campuses, we preach on street corners, and we talk to people constantly, and many of your average individual will be like, you know, I believe it was an inside job, I understand this war is unjust, and we go into a church, and these people are clueless sometimes.
We're
definitely trying to get it out to that base of people for sure. And that's a large base as well. I mean, they helped put George Bush into power.
You're kind of a neither fish nor fowl, forgive the analogy, but I've never come across anyone like you. I advise a little organization called We Hold These Truths. It's a Christian organization, and we try to minister to evangelical churches primarily, because we think they are, as you say, clueless. They've gotten so indoctrinated with this Israel first worship that we held up signs in front of several churches with something as controversial as "Blessed are the peacemakers," and we had one Calvary church actually hoist an Israeli Star of David flag.
I am familiar with that organization. I've actually been in contact with the president of that organization, or the founder, and he's coming out to Colorado, I believe, in January, and we're gonna do a similar protest to either my school or a church in the area together, because we do similar things in terms of certain churches. We try to be led by the Spirit. You know, a lot of churches just ban us completely from their presence. We're hoping God will raise up people in churches that will help arrange for us to come and speak. I mean, I see it as a perfect opportunity for leaders, if they think that we're so off, to expose us and use it as a time for teaching. That's what we're, you know, if the evangelical leaders listen to this now, I challenge them. Let us come into your church. Expose us. Use this as an opportunity to teach your congregation. Quit being afraid of controversy. That's what Jesus was right in the middle of, tons of controversy.
Yeah. Well, many of these churches actually understand that that these neoconservatives are working to a great extent at the insistence, at the behest of Israel, and so they perceive anything that moves towards peace as a threat to Israel, and they react violently. We've actually had people try to run us over. We had a lady who was physically attacked, and fortunately another passerby came to her defense. But you know, there's some of the most dangerous people in the world are these evangelicals we're finding.
And I wouldn't say it's evangelicals. I mean, you have to understand that Satan is going to oppose us in any way he can, and that not everybody that says "Lord, Lord" will enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are people that are working for the opposite side that claim to be Christians. I can, you know, my goal and what I want people to understand is I'm also not really opposed to anybody. I pray for the president. I, you know, we're not into conflict per se. My goal is to be able to speak heart to heart to people and realize that those that are blinded by this are blinded by the enemy, and those that are actively propagating this are being used as pawns of the enemy. And my goal is redemption in this situation. We would like to see some progress to move things forward, and in a Christ-like manner begin to confront these things. I've been around other people that have done similar things like us, and they're very angry and violent, and it's like, that is never our goal.
No.
Even with my school, I've heard what they did, and what they did was completely wrong and unconstitutional with that. But I told them as I was leaving, with tears in my eyes, I love you, and you don't understand what you guys are doing. You are helping propagate an injustice, and I pray when you realize this, it's not too hard on you, because you're going to realize it here before too long.
Yeah, good.
We have
good.
To be people at peace ourselves with all of this.
Absolutely, and good for you. You know, you say you're not out for confrontation, and neither are we, but when you stand up for the truth, like you know, I'm meaning to compare us with Jesus, but, I mean, Jesus was certainly not out to confront or hurt anybody, but, I mean, when you're out up front with the truth, I mean, you will get violent reactions from a lot of quarters. So,
well, I think, Mike, what you have to realize, you've heard me say this many times, but this is a spiritual battle. And Amen. The forces of darkness have been infiltrated the evangelical church.
Absolutely.
And they're working at the highest levels. We saw this with the Ted Haggard. You're there in Colorado, a 14,000-person church headed by a homosexual. And what's he doing? He's speaking out against homosexuality. He's speaking out in favor of family values. And it was all a lie.
Yeah.
And we have these people working at every level of the evangelical church. They infiltrated our seminaries, you know, 50 years ago for times like this. And they've trained a lot of ministers in a false gospel.
Absolutely.
And this is the problem we're in today. And our job is to try to reach our Christian brethren. I'm an evangelical Christian as well. But I'm ashamed when we see evangelical leaders get up and try to justify torture and the mistreatment of our enemies. How can you possibly justify that if you believe anything that Christ taught? Anything else, Mike, before we let you go?
No, sir. Just God bless you both.
Thanks so much. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
And again, our number is 1-800-259-5791. Are you a Christian out there who thinks we can justify torture? Are you a Christian out there who thinks that if we don't get those wicked Islamic people, they're going to come over here and get us? Don't you realize that when you turn on television, you see all these pictures about how terrible the Islamic people are, and some of their leaders keep talking about killing the infidels? That you are being programmed by the people who control the media because they want you to hate the Muslims, and they want the Muslims to hate you because they want a major war at this time? I mean, don't you realize everything is propaganda? And when you understand it's propaganda, this is just what they did in the Second World War. We had to hate the Germans. We had to hate the, you know, the Japs. And of course, in the First World War, we had to hate the Huns. You know, in the Spanish-American War, we had to hate the Spanish. It's all about manipulating people. You've got to be able to rise above that, and to think independent of the mass media and the books and the magazine articles. And it's so easy to fall in the trap unless you understand that our minds are being molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. Okay, Raymond, why don't you go ahead and tell us now, have you had support? Are people beginning to help you at all with your plans for this march? Because this is going to be a long, arduous, and very expensive undertaking.
Sure. We've slowly been raising some support. A lot of what we've been doing recently, we just went public with this about a month and a half ago, and so it's been a process of getting the word out and going around preaching. We've been doing these documentaries, so that's been consuming some time, but definitely we do have a goal we're shooting for financially. That's on the website. We have to purchase an RV. I'm selling my business, and every dime that we've been making at nighttime, me and Elliot have been cleaning floors, stripping wax and floors, and in the daytime we preach and organize and try to raise funds for this trip. So, you know, we've been really, really drained. It's been kind of stressful on my family, but, you know, we feel no matter how much, we know it's unpopular. It's unpopular on two fronts. One, the evangelicals are, as a leadership, are against what we're doing from what we've found. And so it's hard. Most people say they'll look into what we're looking at, which is fine, but they're not interested in supporting us. And then, you know, we have had some more liberal pacifist groups get involved with us, but then we claim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that offends them. So, you know, because, like he said, we're not really able to be put in a certain camp, people are having difficulty giving us funds. And so, you know, I would encourage, as we get word out, that it's going to take people to help us make this powerful, either by helping support it, meeting with us as we come into your city, walking with us as we come through your city. We're going to put our itinerary on our website and dates when we're going to be in specific cities. And if they won't let us come in the churches, then we can do it in a public open forum and expose the lies there. It has to be done. It has to be public. And it's going to take people that are feeling this discontent reaching out and helping us in this symbolic action, making something that's going to be impactful. So we encourage people to get involved, organize in your state for us by calling people for us or whatever form of support, financially support. There's a way you can donate on our website, and we have all our contact information, phone numbers, fax numbers, mailing address. We would love to have more people. And I have received some very positive responses of people that have been feeling this way for a long time. And what I think is happening is the area they're supposed to be able to vent these concerns, they're supposed to be able to reach out to and say, hey, I'm troubled about these things, they're not able to because these leaders are shutting them down and saying it's good to go to war, it's good that we're taking care of these Muslims. And then they find us, and they, you know, I've had women just say, thank you, on our website, you know. This has been eating me up. I fear for my sons, you know. I'm glad someone's speaking the truth. And I hope as we walk, more and more people begin to move in this spirit and say, look, we're not against anybody except, like you said, the spiritual enemy of all mankind, and that we seek redemption of souls. We seek our soldiers back here at home safe. We seek this spirit of propaganda and deception to be squelched in this country, and for people, real leaders, to begin to raise up and lead this country once again in spirit and in truth.
And I think people have to understand that we are responsible for what our government does. We can't sit back and say, well, I didn't have anything to do with 911. I've just got to support the government. No, blind support for the government is where dictatorships come from. Hey, it was Thomas Paine who said that, you know, all societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil, and at its worst, it's tyranny. And then he went on to say, tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. And once this tyranny is in place, and believe me, George Bush has enacted all sorts of legislation, you know, why is he acting all this legislation? This is not aimed at Islamic terrorists. It's aimed at the people here in the United States. And if you don't think that they've been tapping your telephone and reading your emails and reading your faxes, go up on the internet and just pull down Echelon, Project Echelon. This has been going on for 20 years. Now they're just trying to justify the dishonest acts that have been going on for a long period of time, because there really are people at the highest echelons of our government who want a dictatorship in America. Somebody once said, a wise man, you know, fears his neighbor. A wiser man fears his neighbor and himself, but the wisest man fears government. And we have to understand that our founding fathers realized that government was the thing we had to fear. It is government that will enslave us, and what we need to do is put the chains back on the government and get people in positions of power who believe in our Constitution. We are in the right because the Constitution is still the law of the land. Even though the Bush administration and the leaders of the Democrats are doing everything they can to destroy it, because we have bipartisan treason, and I hope you can bring that out in your talks. And the thing is, go back to what happened on 9-1-1. Hammer away at that. That is where they're by far the most vulnerable. And the question is, why did the Bush administration oppose the Joint Select Committee investigation? Why did he oppose 9-1-1? Why did they seal almost all the testimony that was taken for 30 years if there's nothing to conceal? And how did they conceal, in both of those investigations, the fact that there were military exercises on the morning of 9-1-1 that were simulating hijackings of planes?
Yeah, and Stephen Jones just shared with me that as he's been talking to the National Institutes for Standards and Technology about their findings, they said that they would allow him to view. They have over 7,000 photographs and videos that have never been released to the public. They were going to allow him to do the research and to look at those photos, but he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and he refused. And, you know, instantly it made me wonder, Jesus said that people love darkness because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. What issue of national security is at stake for putting the evidence on the table? It doesn't have anything to do with how terrorists operate. It doesn't have anything to do with protecting the way we operate in our intelligence committees. It's hiding the facts of what happened. And he refused and said, I refuse to do that. I'm a scientist. You can't tell me you're going to give me a bunch of facts and then I can't, you know, publicly research those facts. It just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, we'd like to see some of those sealed documents released. That's part of why we're trying to get this investigation. We would like to see all the facts put on the table.
And if I could suggest, the one theme that you should have is demanding an independent investigation where everybody gets to testify and nothing is sealed and concealed from the American people, and that the people who know what's going on be allowed to come forward and testify publicly.
I
think that they were going to have a hard time getting it through the Democrat-controlled Congress, because I think the leaders of the Democrat Party are just as corrupt as the leaders of the Republican Party. We've got bilateral treason. and the leaders of both parties are globalists, dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of America. And the sooner we can get the American people to realize that, and then the spiritual forces behind that, and I hope many of our listeners will go to my website, radioliberty.com, and pull down my August and September newsletters. That's the August and September Radio Liberty letters at radioliberty.com. You've got about 1 minute to wrap up the program. Why don't you get your telephone number and website out again?
Sure. Again, our website is BeitShalomMinistries.org, BeitShalom Ministries.org. You can call us at 970-988-4929. We're leaving February 1st, and we just encourage anyone that wants to get involved to please help us out. Please
you have to give your telephone churches. Number two times every time. One more time, your telephone number.
970-988-4929.
And Raymond, I want you to keep in touch with me. You know, have my telephone number. Call me anytime. We'd love to get you on over and over again.
Thank
you. And track your course across the country. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop, because I gave the kids their Spark Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing,
"Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Spark bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope many of you will give serious consideration to helping us. We have a unique ministry. We have almost 60 outlets every week. You know, some of them are just half an hour a week, but at least people are hearing the truth that they've never heard before. And you never know who's going to be driving down the road, surfing the dial, and may hear our program, and their life may change forever, because as someone once said, upon one man's life it has fallen, a light that doth not depart. and a look or a word he had spoken wrought a flame in another man's heart, and that's how I got started. I turned in the wrong television program, and life has never been the same. So, if you'd like to help us, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Now, we do actually, we've gotten copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye, Monica Jensen Stevenson's wonderful book on Vietnam and the drug smuggling in Vietnam, and let's kiss the boys goodbye. Of course, the copies have been suppressed for many years, but we have copies now. They're second-hand copies, but we've got a lot of hardbound copies. They're $29.95, and they're pretty. Most of them are in pretty good shape. If you get them early, why, they'll be in very good shape. So $29.95 for Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and, of course, if you want to get the four tape set that goes with that, it's called The Men We Left Behind, which includes a interview with Monica Jensen Stevenson. Why, of course, you can get the Kiss the Boys Goodbye special, and, of course, you knock $5 off the cost. We also have Spite House, when you can get, and that, of course, we have those only in softbound. And they come for $9.95, and of course, if you get the tape set along with them, why, of course, you'll get the $5 off of that. That's called One Man Return, the story of Bobby Garwood. And that one had to be suppressed because it went into the fact that we had sniper teams were out killing Americans. They were killing Americans who defected, who just fed up with the war in Vietnam. So Kiss the Boys Goodbye and Spite House, you can get one or both. They're available from Radio Liberty now for the first time in many years. These books have been actively suppressed because they don't want you to realize that the CIA was involved in the drug trade, and that's a large part of what Vietnam was about. Kiss the Boys Goodbye by Monica Jensen Stevenson. Hardbound, $29.95, and of course, if you want to get the tape set that goes with it, and I will tell you, it's a powerful tape set. It's entitled The Men We Left Behind. And then, of course, we have all sorts of great DVDs on 911. We want you to get the truth about 911. And certainly you want to get 911, Press for the Truth. Terror Storm. You want to get the DVD In Plain Sight and the video entitled 911, The Day That Changed America Forever. We have all four of these. And we hope that you'll get them, that you'll play them, that you'll help to get the information out. If you have not yet gotten the three pamphlet set called Foreknowledge 911, you need to get it and read it. Just a compilation of my newsletters on this subject, although you can get them on the Internet. If you need to get Paul Thompson's excellent book, it's entitled Terror Timeline. And then, of course, the book written by Robert Baird, who is a CIA operative. It's called See No Evil. It tells you what the top-notch CIA people said about how, of course, when the dust finally settles, the American people will recognize that 911 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a success. How could it be a success when 3,000 Americans were dead? That's See No Evil. And then, of course, we carry the book Inside Job. The Devil's Game. That's The Devil's Game. Going into how the United States created this whole Islamic terrorist movement. Don't let them get you to hate the Islamic people. You know, we want to convert them to our way of thought, but we're not going to do it with hatred and with torture and all of the things that the Bush administration is doing to discredit Christianity. Please remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. And we'll be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
very harmful, and they're giving them to Americans all across our country today. Well, Bill, you picked the story there.
Well, you did start with vaccines, and of course, we do see the human papillomavirus, the Gardasil. This is Merck's cervical cancer. Their vaccine, of course, they're trying to mandate it around the world. And Australia's had some tough times accepting this. I did send a letter there to one of the major newspapers talking about the drawbacks of this, that the vaccine's not likely to work. And I do see now, in order to try to get Australian acceptance, they're having to lower the price. Now, this is a very overpriced vaccine. It's $200-$300. You have to go through a few courses of it, so it's not just one shot. So, very overpriced. And, of course, unlikely in a few years after young girls have had these shots that it'll do much of anything, because it protects against only certain strains of the virus that causes cervical cancer. So we've tried to point out, if young ladies would take a vitamin pill with folic acid and vitamin C in it, it works far better on all the strains of the virus and is more likely to work and eradicate the viruses altogether. There doesn't seem to be any evidence that they're there or erupting with vitamin C and folic acid. So this is a big development. We do see in Michigan they're having a vote now is to get this out of committee. And there's a group there called Moms, and they're it's a Michigan something Mothers Against Forced Vaccination of some kind, and the little acronym is Moms. But the they're trying to head it off there. As each state now, they decided not to make it a federal thing and to go at it on the state level because it became too much of a hot potato for the president to push on a federal level because of Merck's problems with their Vioxx scandal. Obviously, they were the manufacturer of the anti-inflammatory drug Vioxx. And, of course, now you see Merck, of course, trying to introduce another new anti-inflammatory drug Well, that's not going over too well either, and when we get back from the break here, we'll talk about that.
And, of course, this is just the most amazing thing in the world, is the way that the people in government are doing everything they can to help Merck make money. Not only the rest is it your health, the studies, they have one study with this vaccine, and, of course, as Bill says, there are other ways to control the virus if you have it. Well, Bill, you picked the story up there.
Well, now Merck is introducing its newest painkiller, Arcoxia, and, of course, this little drug, they tested it against an older drug, an older painkiller, and, of course, that heightened some of the results. They didn't test it against some of the other known drugs, naproxen sold as Aleve and other drugs. So the reviewer at the Cleveland Clinic said that the developmental program for Arcoxia is fatally flawed, and so on and so on. Now, they're trying to push this. This is this giant rescue effort, trying to push the human papilloma vaccine, now trying to push another different type of, course, anti-inflammatory painkiller. And this one is causing a pause also. And it's quite a challenge here, as you see the politicians try to push through and keep Merck really out of bankruptcy, because that's where they're headed. And did you notice in the last week, Merck announced that, oh, it just suddenly found $5 billion of tax bills it hadn't paid. And it hadn't put this on its stock ledger, on its annual report. I don't know how they got away with that. No one was fired. And who in the government was allowing them to get away with it? Obviously, the government allowed them to take $5 billion off their books. You know, I'd love to have that kind of a privilege in the world, but so here we are.
Well,
so,
I think another thing, Bill, is I think our listeners must understand that this Medicare drug bill is simply a giveaway program for the drug companies. It's not going to save our people anything. It is a giveaway program to funnel money from the federal treasury directly into the coffers of the drug companies, and the average individual isn't smart enough to realize that, and that's why they were stampeding everybody, all the older people, to go into this program, which is not going to help them, but that is unless they've got Merck or Pfizer or stock in one of the other drug companies.
Well, what you can do is get rid of competition, have the major drug companies own the whole show when you hurt all the people under these major plans like this. And, of course, the big deal was to protect the drug companies and drag the price up or support it because they didn't want any competition. And I don't know whether all of our listeners understand that the drugs that the Medicare program buys are forbidden to be shopped unpriced. So we wonder why all the seniors are paying so much. This is the deal, and this is how they herd us into this thing. It's a little less expensive, but a little less expensive means what your out-of-pocket is while the seniors shove those prices, those high costs, onto others because it's now Medicare paying instead of the seniors. And, of course, it may sound good for a time, but they're still overcharging, and our own people in Congress will not mandate because they're so paid off that we get
hold drugs. Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're just talking with Bill Sardi about the Medicare drug bill, which is really a scam to funnel money from the federal treasury into the coffers of the drug companies. And, of course, oh, my goodness, we can't allow Americans to buy American-made drugs in Canada. Why, that would certainly be unfair, you know. They may be adulterated by the time they get to Canada. We're from the government, and we're going to put you in prison. We're going to make your life miserable if you're buying your drugs in Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, this, I believe in competition. We do not have competition in the drug field. We have monopolies, and of course they are ripping off the people. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, so everyone understands, we now have a giant shift in Congress, and we have a kind of a balance in our government that we haven't had for some time. So the first thing the Democrats are going to do is attempt to get this drug program that we see in Medicare to be put under open bid, so we'll drive the prices down. Now, this is horrors for the drug industry. I don't know what they're going to do to pay off the Democrats or whatever, but you can see that the Republicans have price supported, again, the oil industry, and in this case the pharmaceutical industry. You've seen these by not allowing bidding and all this kind of thing. So here we go. And, of course, they blocked, remember, our federal government blocked drugs coming in from that were more competitive over the Canadian border from Canadian online pharmacies. So you can see all this effort to prop up their little buddies. And, of course, now we have this the Democrats, and they've got an edge because they're going to use their crowbar to open the door against the presidential executive branch is obviously the phony war in Iraq, and so that they won't take the president to task over that. They may subpoena him and Cheney and others who said they would refuse to respond to subpoenas anyway, but they may get them on others, and they're going to take this as far as they might, and in order to avoid all this, they'll make deals. Well, you know, we won't go that far if you give us amnesty for all the illegal immigrants. That's one of the things on the agenda. And the next one is, let's have some bidding on these Medicare drugs. Now, that's considered horrors, and for more than one reason. Sometimes it even sounds good. The drug stocks run Wall Street. Wall Street drug stocks are what most pension plans are based on because of the high yields. So these pension plans will fail. Remember the last time the stock market crashed, all of the state economies collapsed because they couldn't fund their own pension plans for all the federal employees or the state employees. I'm sorry. So, you know, this is what's going to go down. We could have a giant financial collapse on top of this. China is threatening not to buy American dollars anymore with the dollars it ends up after we buy all of its goods. They might elect to buy some euros, and if they do that, that would really send us into a tailspin as far as the value of our dollar. It could even lead to devaluation. So we're in very, very treacherous times economically, and we got into all this because we started overpaying the pharmaceutical companies and propping up their prices so that they could have outrageous profits. And so we should have never gotten into this, and now it's just like certainly pulling out of Iraq, pulling out of this overpriced drug program is fraught with more problems than staying in it. So I don't know where it's going to go. It's obviously something we need to do, and it's obviously something the Democrats have a wedge to push for.
But, of course, what the average American doesn't understand is that this whole idea of the Medicare drug program was Ted Kennedy's program, and Ted Kennedy couldn't get it through. That's why George Bush got it through. In other words, In fact, if you go back, you'll find that in the year 2003, the Bush Foundation, made up of George Herbert Walker Bush and Jeb Bush and George W. Bush, gave the most significant or most important or most valuable Citizen of the Year award to none other than that arch conservative, Teddy Kennedy. You can document it on the internet and we'll get the documentation. The idea that we have a two-party system, I think, is as phony as a $3 bill, but we can't let the American people know that. And, of course, the Republicans got through the legislation that the Democrats couldn't. And now, of course, the Republican members were really against amnesty. That's one reason I believe that George Bush did everything he could to be sure that he was going to get rid of the Republicans who were troublemakers. And now, with Democratic support, George Bush is going to get through his amnesty legislation. Why? Because it has to do with globalism. It has to do with doing away with national sovereignty. That's really what the Bush administration is all about, is amnesty for all the illegals, and they're not 10 or 11,000. They're simply lying, like they've lied about so many other things. They're probably between 20 million, and maybe even as many as 25 or 30 million illegals, and they're all going to get amnesty with the full support of the Bush administration, now that he doesn't have to worry about those Republicans who wouldn't back him, because now the Democrats who want amnesty control the House, and the average individual can't see this. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, we continue to see these issues of the drug industry here in England now. They've got another headline, the lung cancer patients denied access to a cancer drug. And as the headline goes, thousands of lung cancer patients in England were today denied access to the world's first one-a-day pill to treat the disease, lung cancer. And, of course, this headline is totally false. Treating and curing are two different things. They didn't say it was effective. They didn't say it was worth its money. They just said that it's a one-a-day treatment. Isn't that wonderful? So I guess instead of twice a day or whatever, there is no cure for lung cancer. Most cancer patients of the lung die within a year or so. And, of course, this drug gives them little to hope for, but they're told that they can't get it now because obviously it's overpriced. It would bankrupt the British health system. And so what it turned out is that I think 20% of the patients have succumbed to lung cancer on a placebo, no treatment at all. But I don't know anybody that does just get the placebo. Very few do. But 31% of the patients were alive a year later. It's a bogus study because some of the patients do have treatment, and it does help prolong, just not very long. There is no cure. Most of the patients are gone within 18 months. And so, again, treatment is more important, and billing is more important than any cure, and, again, more ineffective cure. By the way, Nature Medicine Magazine has a study that's been published. I haven't been able to get my hands on it, but it was a survey of oncologists, and, of course, I think it was 64% of the oncologists said that they wouldn't endure a chemotherapy for themselves or their families. So that's very interesting. They're the ones who deliver chemotherapy. They know it's too harsh. And if you're considering chemotherapy, so that you should know, on the day you're diagnosed of cancer, from 30 to 50% of people, the cancer has already spread beyond its original site, for which chemotherapy doesn't really address this. The treatments don't address the metastasis or the spread of the tumor. Of the people who it hasn't spread, you have lung cancer, prostate, breast, and colon cancer represent 70% of all cancers. Those are solid tumors for which chemotherapy is totally ineffective. It can't penetrate a solid tumor. But did they ever tell you this? Did they ever tell the patients it's worthless treatment that cannot work, it never could work, but they're going to have you endure all the suffering, your hair falling out, the destruction of your immune system, and any chance that you would actually make it through? So, you know, I just try to tell you this is the kind of thing that goes on. It's more important to collect the money and do the billing on your way out the door. Just help your doctor so he can get another billing into the insurance companies while you're dying of cancer. So this is what goes on. So
I really think, Bill, that the doctor has to do something. He's almost being pressured to do something, even if he knows that it's not going to be very effective.
Well, this is true. This is the double-edged sword of cancer, and I'm writing a book about this. I'm trying to just put the finishing touches to it. The bad part of what I just said was, if the doctor doesn't provide the oncology drugs, if he doesn't give you chemotherapy, you will go and down to the local newspaper, you will go and get an attorney, and you will demand, this is the bizarre behavior of the patients, you will demand a treatment that has no chance of working whatsoever, because you will say it's my mother, my father, my whatever, and they deserve the very best, and this is a Mayo Clinic trained doctor, and he should do this, and if he doesn't, I'm going to sue him because my mom's dying.
And, of course, the thing is that the main thing you have to do is get your immune system functioning so that the body can take care of this. This is the thing, but nobody ever talks about that.
Well, they don't. You know, we've seen so many wonderful remissions to cancer at long term, and nutrition works, but it's all difficult to sort out and want to make these claims why people are just so hard to create any credibility about such a claim. So you have to be careful and make sure that you have no financial interest in what you say, and try to talk to people. But even then, again, if this occurs, the patients are going to take and run it back to their doctor because they're going to want to find out what he or she says. And so it's just an endless motion that doesn't go anywhere. So the patients are still confused because they don't get confirmation from their doctor. So that's the way that goes, and sometimes I'm almost reluctant to bring it up. I do see that we're headed for the flu season here, and of course, they're bringing up this issue with Tamiflu, this drug made by Gilead Sciences. This was the Don Rumsfeld drug. He's president of Gilead Pharmaceuticals, that developed this drug. And Tamiflu, now this is the drug that will take about a day off of the duration of the flu. You have to give it at the first onset. Unlikely you'd be able to get it in time. It certainly wouldn't be enough for an epidemic, but now they want a warning on the Tamiflu package that it could cause bizarre behavior in young children who get it. Now, there were 4 children that died in Japan of this, but they're hiding this data. You can't find it anywhere. The drug companies are hiding the side effects, and obviously they disclose them to the government.
In other words, there are 4 children who took the Tamiflu and died. Is this what you're saying?
But there's more now. There's over 100 cases of bizarre behavior. So this is one of the problems for
him. All right, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. Well, I'll tell you what, Tamiflu really is pretty good for Donald Rumsfeld, that great Secretary of Defense we've had, who wouldn't allow our men to win the war in Iraq. Go right ahead, Bill.
Well, of course, I hate to make humor out of this, but you know, it was Don Rumsfeld who was the aspartame approved, the NutraSweet, and of course that was a whole thing. He was involved in that. They call that for people who have side effects from that. Many thousands of people have reported side effects from aspartame use, and of course they now call that Rumsfeld disease. That's how we're going to get it, Big Don. So that should have never been approved. It would never had safety in long-term studies, and yet the FDA approved it. Never should have been approved. So, but so many people feel that let's try a diet drink or this or that. So they really don't realize that that's something that was never, that was politically approved, not medically approved. So those kind of things go on. I'm shocked in today's news because I'm reading about something. Hospitals too slow to actually respond to heart attacks. And this is quite a story because apparently the government went out. This might be some sort of a movement to move cardiac care to bigger centers, something like this. But they're admitting 200,000 people a year have heart attacks caused by blockages in the 4 coronary arteries supplying the heart. But there's over 1.2 million heart attacks a year. What are the other ones caused by? You see, there's some other thing going on there. But this is what they say. Anyway, these blockages have to be reopened. You're having a blood clot stop the circulation to the heart, and you've got about 90 minutes to get this done, or you're going to have more severe heart damage. And so they try to meet this 90-minute window, and they do angioplasty. They put a little tube up there, and it inflates a little balloon and opens the blockage as it's withdrawn, and, of course, you've restored circulation of the heart. And, of course, they say it cuts the risk of dying by about 40%. So you get the angina, the crushing chest pain, you get the sweating, profuse sweating, you get the symptom of nausea, maybe throwing up. So you know you're having a heart attack. This isn't just indigestion. And all of a sudden you're in trouble. Well, you're in the best position to do something without waiting the 90 minutes if you can just have your wits about you to stick an aspirin tablet under your tongue, because that was in the blood. If you could possibly get something down like a magnesium tablet that thins the blood and, of course, relaxes the arteries so you can get the blockage open, and then maybe even something like vitamin C, vitamin E, so on. Because what's going to happen is as soon as that's opened, that's when the damage to the heart really occurs. It's called reperfusion injury. And, of course, as the heart, its own antioxidant defenses have been shut off, and then as the heart circulation is restored, why, that's when the scarring to the heart occurs. And, of course, if we had a lot of antioxidants on board, we wouldn't have it. Now, the doctors don't do anything about this. They allow the heart to get scarred. They could do something, but they're so antioxidant in their biases, they just couldn't imagine to do this. But nonetheless, I want to go back to this response time. Only 35% of the hospitals surveyed out of 365 hospitals could get the job done, that is, restore the circulation of one of these coronary arteries within 90 minutes or less. The rest of them couldn't do it. Some of them took more than 150 minutes to get this done. Now, by that time, you could sit down and watch a whole football game.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back, Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill is simply saying that many of the hospitals, according to the government survey, really, they've only got something like 90 minutes or so to get the reperfusion to the heart, and they just are not getting it done within that time. How long? What's the ordinary time that they have?
They have a 90-minute window, as we said. Now, you're going to go to an emergency room. By the time they've got the pagers activated, the emergency room doctor is really alerted this is really something he needs to commandeer. And then they turn on the pagers and get the teams in to do the angioplasty. This could be at 2 in the morning. This could be at 4 in the afternoon. Doesn't matter. So they got to get the teams in. So by the time they mobilize, this is past the time, and we've got about 40% more dying. So you get the treatment, but it's too late. Now, you're not going to die right immediately, but there's so much heart damage that that's why they can just barely hang on to you. In the intensive care, you're going to succumb a day or two later. So this is what we see happening. Now, they're trying to fix this, and, of course, they're saying if the paramedics perform an electrocardiogram en route to the hospital so the emergency room doctor can see it by electronic transmission, and then he activates the angioplasty team so that they might even be waiting by the time you get there, and then, of course, they can arrive maybe within 20 minutes, and then the hospital gets this angioplasty going. So all of this is very important. And, well, you're wondering why they're doing it now. Somebody's late here in the game. We're just... Too many people are dying unnecessarily, as some sort of response could be made in a timely way. But most of the hospitals not really equipped to do this, so their drill time is not good. And, of course, you're in a better position to do something. Now, some people are throwing up and so on, so it could be difficult, but if you can get an aspirin tablet under the tongue, if you could get a half a glass of red wine down a person, these are the kind of things that, oddly enough, we'll thin the blood, stop the clotting. Anything you can reach for in these terms might be helpful. And then if you could get the antioxidants up, why, when the doctor reopens your artery, why, then you're going to have the antioxidants protecting the heart till the heart can make its own antioxidant protection. But at that vulnerable moment called reperfusion injury, why, when oxygen is restored to the heart, it makes a flood of oxygen-free radicals that then damages the muscle, and that's where we get the scarring from. So it's very important to think about this in our future. It might happen to us, and certainly is something that can be done. Now, I don't know whether it was this audience or whoever, but as you know, Dr. Stan, why one of your listeners got a hold of me on the Internet and explained a circumstance whereby they didn't have health insurance, and they've been listening to me talk on your show, and they were frightened to actually go for cardiac care, and they live in a semi-rural area in the state of Washington. So sounded like the history that was given to me, that that it's a massive heart attack and then heart failure afterwards, and then swelling of the ankles, can't pump enough of the circulation from the of course, the by gravity, the circulation's held below the hips and so on. So what happens is swelling of the ankles and so on. So it sounded like heart failure after a massive heart attack. Might have even been to explain a crushing chest pain and so on. This is a person who still went out and worked after all this, but was too afraid to go to the doctors because of what would be done, because he would obviously have his chest cranked open and arteries replaced, and they didn't have the money and so on. And I was fearful for them, and I could only tell them, well, I can't make that decision for you, but we did make a little list of dietary supplements for them to take, and I've talked about chondroitin sulfate before, something that Dr. Lester Morrison, Loma Linda University many years ago, showed he could heal up scarred hearts after heart attacks, and things like the fish oil and vitamin D and vitamin C and so on. And all that was adhered to, and of course we got the wonderful good news that finally the children of this man talked him into finally going and letting the doctor see what happened, and was under an agreement. They wouldn't offer any treatment, but they would do diagnosis. And so as they went, and he did the stress test and the electrocardiogram and all of that, and they could not find evidence of a heart attack on the electrocardiogram. And by history, the doctor said, well, obviously something happened, but they were perplexed and scratched their heads and had no idea because there was no evidence of this left. This also happened to my wife's uncle, who had a heart attack and was being considered for knee surgery, but they wouldn't do it till he went in and had a cardiogram. So they did that again, and his previous cardiogram showed that he had three previous heart attacks, but after undergoing the regimen I had recommended, which is online at our website at Knowledge of Health, he showed no evidence of the three prior heart attacks. So I'm just bringing this all up. Natural medicine's great. What God gives us to use should be used, and that should be the first line of treatment for cardiac care.
Oh, we'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Bill Sardi. He's a health journalist who's really is on top of so many of the things that are going on, the natural approaches to health that really are not taught in medical school. And why? Because the medical schools are, in many respects, tied into the pharmaceutical industry, and for everything, there is a pill, and a pill for every season. I think that's how it's said. Anyway, go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, we certainly get encouraged by feedback we do get. You know, there are a lot of people that do listen to your program, and I know that, well, somehow they get on your prayer list and mine, as we do pray for God's wisdom in trying to deal with these requests. Some people are pretty desperate, and sometimes there's no answer from modern medicine. And here's a lady who writes, and of course, she says she wants to thank everyone for their concern for her health. And as she says, she, well, had ovarian cancer, which was diagnosed, let's see, that was September 11th, and had blood tests done and surgery thereafter and hysterectomy and so on. And so she went through all this, but I think she resisted any chemotherapy and didn't want that done.
Well, actually, she had metastatic carcinoma, though everything was studied. There were metastases all over her abdomen and internally, which ordinarily is sort of a death sentence after an ovarian cancer.
So far, this looks encouraging to her because there's a marker that they use, a chemical marker, to see if the cancer is really bad. And her first cancer marker test in the blood sample was 372. Now, 35 is normal, so you can imagine how alarming that number is, 10 times higher than normal. And yet, between 9/18, when she had the surgery, and 11/3, November the 3rd, when she writes here recently, that was the second test that the oncologist took for the cancer marker. Her cancer marker had gone down to 13, all the way from 372 to 13. Praise the Lord for his mercy, she writes. And she goes on to explain that she had adhered to a little regimen that we had sent her of flaxseed oil, vitamin D, vitamin C, resveratrol, this little red wine molecule, a rice bran extract, vitamin K, some enzymes, flaxseed meal, and melatonin to get to sleep. And she said that she had good sleep. We advised no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, no tap water, no iron-rich foods like red meat, no iron supplements. Get as much sunlight as possible. Eat organic, good, lots of vegetables. Thank God every day for his blessings and move on. And, of course, she's saying that,
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Bill is talking about somebody I've known. I asked them to go talk to Bill because they didn't want to take the chemotherapy, and I couldn't counsel her one way or the other. I couldn't tell her that she had to take it. I just said, why don't you talk to Bill? And Bill had put her on a regime, and rather dramatic, with a woman with metastatic ovarian cancer all over her abdomen, and of course the marker has fallen dramatically from over 300 down to 13 with a normal of 35, and at least for the time being, why she's doing very, very well. In fact, it would almost be incredible that somebody with metastatic ovarian cancer, even with chemotherapy, would live very long. Doctors told her that they would give her chemotherapy, and she had a 30 to 40% chance of living a couple of years, and she wasn't willing to take it. She said, I'd just as soon, live. I do not want to get ill and have my hair fall out and get... And so she tried alternative therapy, and that was her decision, certainly. And it's amazing how well she's done.
She says, I write to prefer to live my life happy without the anxiety of chemotherapy. I realize we're not out of the woods yet, but on a new journey with Jesus Christ as our best friend, and I want to thank God for everyone's prayers, and of course she writes this wonderful story. It's a story of encouragement, and I just want to encourage other people in the same place. Obviously, we need more time to show that this actually is a remission, but we've experienced this so many times, and it's so encouraging. And so these numbers and so on certainly boosted her spirits. And, of course, it's really rare that something's already, when we say metastasis, we mean that's real red zone. The cancer has spread, and that's a real mortal thing to face. So here we are with something that gives encouragement to this person. We're going to find out, how this kind of a regimen works for us. But she's certainly healthier and certainly feels better about herself and without all the terrible ravages of the chemotherapy, which is something I say is in the way. I can't talk people out of it because it's so difficult. If I do, well, then the patients go back and want to ask their doctors who have another opinion. So it's kind of an endless pursuit. So all I can do is present the information. I do know that you're going to have to do something to counter the terrible, counter the side effects of the chemotherapy. Frequently, chemotherapy really destroys the heart, and so many people succumb not to the cancer but to the chemotherapy drugs, which are damaging the heart. And then the doctor says, well, he can't recommend that you take any antioxidants that would protect the heart from the chemotherapy, because then the chemotherapy wouldn't work. Of course, it never did work and never could work and never can work on these types of solid tumors. So this is rational mayhem. This is a logic that defies any sense whatsoever. We're trying to protect chemotherapy instead of the patient, and this makes no sense. I know it sounds a little off the beaten path here. The doctors do, but this is the way modern cancer therapy operates these days. So, we're going to dig into cancer. We've got a wonderful thing happening with cancer, and that is in these winter months, it makes us think of it more. The cancer rates go up in the winter, so do the death rates overall. All has to do with a lack of vitamin D. And, you know, if we could just convince all the people sitting on the fence listening to this show and on through to America, if they could all get supplementing with higher dose of vitamin E without the phobia over the overdosing, because we find they've been kind of misleading us all this time. Vitamin D researchers just waving a giant flag, we need to reconsider, while the Food and Nutrition Board does nothing. But we could literally eradicate, drop the cancer rates from most all cancers by 30 to 50%. National Cancer Institute, totally ignoring this data. Researchers at the University of California, San Diego, made us aware of it almost a year ago. And we need to take action on our own. And so I think if the cancer rates drop, then we couldn't hide it if we could only convince people to start getting more vitamin D, if we could only do it. And we're just, you know, if you get a sense of the medical industry like I do and see that every time an herb or a vitamin or something gets popular, they trump up some phony study about it or something, because they know once this really gets started in the public, then the disease rates are going to go down and you're going to see less business for and less doctoring and less medicine needed. And so they're really doing this disease mongering. You get the sense of this. This is what the British call it, that they're hoping there's more disease, so there's more disease to treat and sell their wares. And so it becomes a real terrible thing to think that pharmacology, the pharmaceutical companies would allow people to die so they could sell more of their products, but it sure seems that way. You're going to have to sort yourself out through this medical care system. We wrote a book, The Collapse of Conventional Medicine. You can go get it at my website, knowledgeofhealth.com, and print it out and read it for free, and you'll see all of the problems that modern medicine is having. Most of what modern medicine does today is not documented scientifically. It's not evidence-based medicine. And they've said there's only three things that they can show actually work statistically, and that certainly is fixing teeth, fixing and repairing broken bones, and taking out cloudy cataracts and replacing them with clear lens implants. After that, they've got a hard time showing that bypass surgery works or that glaucoma treatment does anything to prevent or even slow down the loss of side vision in glaucoma. And this list just goes on and on like this. Now, one doctor just recently said that we've got to get out of, just maintaining disease. We have drugs that maintenance a disease. We don't have ones that cure it. Well, sure, they don't want to cure it because obviously it lose business. So they develop inappropriate drugs, drugs that don't deal with the cause but may alter the numbers, but then they have side effects to the drugs themselves, which means you need to sell more drugs to counter the side effects of more drugs, which continues on. So, it's really kind of interesting. The female doctor, she was giving a talk here in Canada at a medical meeting, and she started to get up and say, as doctors, we just need to rebuff. We need to be less dependent on these pharmaceutical-supported meetings to train us, and we need to, be more independent and work on the behalf of our patients. And by the time she finished talking, most of the pharmaceutical representatives at the meeting had packed up their exhibits and left. I guess she scared them all away. So the medical meeting had to, the people that managed that had to apologize to the pharmaceutical companies, but she gave a strong message, and probably if doctors would stand up at this time, it would be a good time to cleanse the industry of all this over-commercialization. And the doctors get trained. Primarily, they need to go for so many hours of retraining a year, and all of that is sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies, who have a strong role in the curriculum at these, educational events. So you can understand that the doctors only hear about one way to fix these things, and this doctor was talking about, we never hear about diet or exercise or nutrition at these conferences. All we hear is more medicines and more medicines. So, this is what's going on, and maybe the doctors could fix this right off if we just get them running for the hills. We just got to straighten this out. It's just gone too far. Too many people have no alternative, so they don't know what to do, and they're on seven medicines. And so we've tried to work with people to see if they would slowly wean themselves away. They could ask their doctor or something, is there a couple of medicines I could get off? But slowly weaning themselves away from these medicines that are inappropriate and you never get well. And we've given your audience some evidence of that. Lisinopril is a little drug they give for high blood pressure. Now, it doesn't address the cause of the high blood pressure, which is, in most cases, a high blood sugar. Once you have high blood sugar levels, well, then your blood pressure goes up. But does this address the blood sugar problem? No. What does lisinopril do? It causes diabetes, which then gives you high blood pressure, which then makes you perpetually need the drug. And, of course, the patients never hear this, so they don't understand it. Why, we put patients in heart failure on beta blockers, which slows your heart rate down. Why, that's what heart failure does. So I know it gives you a little bit more rest between beats, but, frankly, I don't think that's the thing to do. So then the beta blockers have some side effects, deplete you of a couple of nutrients, one of them being coenzyme Q10, which is needed for energy for the heart muscle. So these are all antithetical. They're all in the wrong direction. And we keep trying to say that so many of these medicines the doctors haven't had a chance to think twice about. So there's no way you can get well on certain medicines because they deplete you of certain nutrients and you're forever deficient. The diuretics deplete you not only of potassium and magnesium, the electrolyte minerals required for your heart to fire, but the diuretics deplete you of thiamine, that's vitamin B1, and then, you go into heart failure, and then they put you on all the other medicines without even looking that the diuretic caused that. If you're on a water pill for high blood pressure, then you need to be making sure you get about 100 milligrams of vitamin B1. That's thiamine. So, you really need that. You're going to get beriberi. That's what you get when you're out of thiamine. So you're going to get symptoms. You even have mental symptoms and so on. So there'll be other issues. So, and you just need to be careful. The doctors are not bringing this up. I don't know why I'm having to tell you. So it's disappointing. So many patients suffering. So hopefully I can create you to think twice about some of these things. We have it all documented with the references on our website at knowledgeofhealth.com. We welcome you to visit there if you're webified and have a chance to get there. Maybe someone who can help you will get you the information you're looking for. We have reports that are free. Most all the information you can link to a website to get books that I sell, but we're trying to give away the information, and whether it's autism or high blood pressure or the flu or whatever it is, why you can find so many wonderful pieces of information there. And we just think of it as a public service, frankly. And it's a way of giving back to God for all the things that we've been taught. And, of course, you have a chance to benefit from it. So we certainly invite you to go there. And I'm just reading a couple of cases here where people certainly benefited that have been listening to this program. And, of course, we're thankful for it. And we hope more of you take advantage of it.
All right, well, if it is, it's such a tragic situation. For those people who are skeptical about the relationship between the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry, we have a wonderful book written by a professor at Harvard University, Marcia Angel, formerly the editor of the most prestigious of all medical journals, the New England Journal of Medicine. And in her book, The Truth About the Drug Companies We Carry, we want you to read it. Because she told the truth about the drug companies, they came after her with tooth and fang, and they made her life so miserable she won't even answer her emails. But that's what happens to anybody who really begins to bring the truth out today. And you say, well, that couldn't be happening, because if it was, I'd read about it, in the New York Times, or I'd certainly hear about it from Rush Limbaugh or ABC or CBS or the Evening News. And the trouble is, you're not going to get the truth. Now, I will give 60 Minutes credit for interviewing Marcia Angel, and they had her on. And after that, I guess there was so much pressure on her that she simply just faded away. This is what happens when anybody brings the truth out today.
Well, it certainly is. There is strong backing by the politicians, and this is the thing. The referees in the baseball game are just simply paid off. So, you know, and so much of the news media is too, and this is what the bad part is. So many sources corroborate and confirm so that you really don't know you've gone in the wrong direction, and this is terrible.
Would you mind just mentioning a little something about the influenza vaccine, because I think it's so important. There's such pressure being put on people today. Get your influenza vaccine before we run out of it. And if you love your family, get this influenza vaccine. Are there any studies that show that it really helped? Well, are there any studies that show that it's really safe, especially when it has a toxic dose of mercury in it?
Well, not really. The Cochrane group, this is a group that reviews all medical technology, and they studied 64 studies. And they couldn't find any evidence that this influenza vaccine works. Now, listen, there's got to be this big plan payoff. They've built up all these stocks of the vaccine. They've got all this Tamiflu. And the politicians are going to, obviously, in my mind, call some phony flu epidemic or scare in order to get the stocks of this run out and everybody to get their money out of the deal. So, you know, I'm terribly concerned and frightened that the public will, as they have lined up, you know, being good patients and so on, good Americans, and lining up for all this, and they'll do this again for vaccines that, well, certainly could be problematic and certainly can cause side effects. And
but, of course, we're talking about toxic doses of mercury. They know They know that the problem in the elderly is there's a significant increase in Alzheimer's disease. If you take three or four shots, you know, over a five-year period, you're between 60 and 65. And anybody who'd like the documentation on that, call us at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the page from the abstract of Dr. Fudenberg's article. He's over 80 years old. He's been studying this for years. And there's a 1,000% increase in the incidence of Alzheimer's disease where those people are foolish enough to take their regular flu shots. I know one of my good friends, a fellow doctor who I almost like my brother, now has Alzheimer's disease in a nursing home in the town where I live, and he's a lot younger than I am.
You know, these are just tragic things to think that people... Of course, they have no way to catch up to all this information. It's just too overwhelming. And they have to be on guard about their medical treatment while they're vulnerable and sick and so on. So, you know, it does make it a very difficult, troubling thing. But we need to be alert. You know, I remember the scripture in the Bible said to be, you know, wise as serpents. And, you know, so, you know, we need to be careful. We're the little sheep, and the shepherds are telling us to go here and there. That's our doctor. So we need to be careful. We need to be wise in what's going on. So the doctors certainly have control of our insurance money. They have the best tools to diagnose us. It's where we get into the treatment area that becomes problematic.
Well, let's get your website out again. How can people get to your website?
Yeah, knowledgeofhealth.com, knowledgeofhealth.com. You know, and I hope all of you come visit, get some helpful information there. We'd like to be of service to all of your listeners.
And there's a lot of great information there. Read it through. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that you are responsible for your own health. Do not think that you can put it off on somebody else, because remember, the doctor knows what the detailed person tells them. And when you see the, you know, watch television and the smiling person says, and you ask your doctor if this medicine's good for you. And the great tragedy is he knows that the doctor's been programmed by the detail people that they pay to tell them how great their product is, and the doctor's going to repeat what he's told. But of course, that product could well be very, very, very hazardous to your health. Well, Bill, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program here.
Of course, we try to stay on the positive side. Some of these things get depressing. I bring them up because I'm trying to jolt the audience away from some of these things that they hold on to so strongly. The medicines that are just problematic, the chemotherapy that they undergo, and so it really takes a little bit of jolting. I really don't like bringing up the negatives, and one of the things even with cancer is people have often told me, don't tell that to my mom or don't tell that to my dad, because, you know, they're undergoing so much stress as it is. that's just too upsetting, and I certainly understand. I'm trying to find the right time and place to say these things so that people can understand that as I'm talking to them about them, I give them an alternative, because no one wants to be left with nothing, nothing that I can do. And I'm trying to tell the audiences that I speak to on the radio, you have more things you could do at home that are safer and better than you could possibly do oftentimes at the doctor's office. Most of the time, the treatments are harmful and troublesome, certainly in cancer, certainly in cardiac care, and so many others. So there's things that we can do. And, of course, you've got a bad gallbladder, why, there's ways to clean that out. You've got troubles with your lungs, why there's bronchitis, why there's ways to avoid that, so on. There's always something, and of course you're running down to the doctor, that's all you know to do. Well, maybe we can arm you with enough information so that you can find something without all the doctoring. And of course, so many of you, it's bankrupting you of all the money that you saved and so on, so we hate to see this. And it's robbing for many of the Christians from God's kingdom the money that should have gone to God's work as well. So we do see that going on. We're concerned about all of this.
Well, Bill, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. And again, of course, it's knowledgeofhealth.com or askbillsardi.com. They both take you to exactly the same website. And Bill has done an exhaustive research. And the information, most of it's there for absolutely no charge at all. Learn about the statin drugs. Learn about hypertension. Learn about the things that you can do to help yourself. Your health is your responsibility. And your family's health is your responsibility. Don't put it off on the drug company that has a vested interest in selling your drugs rather than getting it well. After all, if you were well, you wouldn't be buying the drugs. So, Bill Sardi, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed our program with Bill again. And, of course, we have a couple of 4-tape sets with Bill. And you can get, of course, copies of any of these programs you'd like. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, let me just suggest some of the books we carry. One of them would be The Truth About the Drug Companies by Marcia Angel. You want to know about statin drugs? We've got an economical little book about statin drugs and a 4-tape set on statin drugs. You'd like to know about the influenza vaccine that they're giving to pregnant women in the first trimester of birth, when the mercury that they're giving will have do the maximum damage to the brain, the developing brain of the child within a womb? You need to hear our wonderful talk given by Dr. David Ayoub. That's Dr. David Ayoub, and it's available. Simply call 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get Dr. Marshall Angel's book, or, of course, the videotape of Dr. Ayoub's excellent talk going into the background of what they're doing as they're giving a product, a toxic substance, to pregnant women in the first trimester, to children at 6 months of age. They've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, but they left it in the influenza vaccine, and they're telling every doctor, you be sure to give it every six-month-old child. If not, why, it's that you don't care. The doctors really have never read the studies on thimerosal. And the original studies, you go to the CDC website, and as you will find, and you need to get my some more interviews with Dr. Ayoub, who's researched all these things. The CDC tells us, look, we've got all these studies, show you thimerosal is safe, but if you read them, you'll find out that the primary study they did to show it was safe, everybody died. You need to get our 4-tape sets on mercury. We have 2 of them. Oh, we have, of course, a book on mercury, evidence of harm going into the autism epidemic. And then, of course, we have a DVD called Uninformed Consent. It gets into the mercury fillings that people have, and of course they vent mercury. They're constantly venting mercury. Why would they put anything into your mouth that was toxic? Well, why is it that so many dentists actually commit suicide? One of the highest instances of suicide is among dentists, and of course the women who work in dental offices, the dental technicians, have real problems as far as pregnancy and miscarriage. It's the toxic fumes from the mercury they're working with. It's the old idea, mad as a hatter. I mean, of course, they outlawed putting mercury into hats, and now they put it into your mouth. And why would anybody do anything like that? Well, there are people who have a different worldview. There are people who know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to get a course on material. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour videos. Or DVDs, you can get either one. We've got all sorts of new 4-tape sets on the changing church, globalism, the secret state, the impending police state, medical myths, the North American community, the demise of national sovereignty, the truth about the Holocaust, and so many more 4-tapes that will give you a view of what's going on today that you won't get elsewhere. If you like more books on health, certainly my favorite is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, now available in paperback, written by our good friend Dr. Russell Blaylock. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. If you know somebody who's going to take chemotherapy, why they need to get natural strategies for cancer patients, because if you follow this, of course, why your hair isn't going to fall out, you're not going to be deathly ill. And then, of course, you need to get Dr. Blaylock's other book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. You need to understand that they're poisoning us with NutraSweet, and it's in almost all of your products. And that's the Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, Natural Strategies for Health Patients, and Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the book, The Miracle of Magnesium, and you need to be on magnesium supplements. In fact, if you'd like to get a list of the supplements we carry, that Barbara and I take, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shull. President Bush has been meeting with members of a bipartisan panel looking for new policy options in Iraq. Mark Smith is at the White House.
The president says he's looking forward to the Iraq Study Group's report in hopes of hearing some fresh ideas.
I believe that it's important for us to succeed in Iraq, not only for our security, but for the security of the Middle East.
The group's expected to make recommendations next month, but Press Secretary Tony Snow says the sessions with Bush did not include what he calls proposal shopping.
They're going to have their proposals. We don't know what they are.
And he says Bush is happy to take a look at any idea that helps achieve the goal of a stable, democratic Iraq. Mark Smith at the White House.
The White House is calling on the international community to isolate Iran until it gives up its nuclear ambitions. President Bush expressed hope that rational people in Iran's government will see that isolation is not in its interest. This is